God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So 1 Samuel chapter 14 is a Alvin C. York kind of story. Sergeant York was a farmer not too far from where I live now. And famously, he was a World War I hero that took, I think, dozens of German soldiers prisoner nearly single-handedly. He's a hero of Tennessee. And I've actually seen his home and I've seen his son when I was a kid years and years ago. You know, I'm reminded of Sergeant York when I read 1 Samuel because it's the story of Jonathan, the son of Saul, King Saul, and the physical courage of the man and the noble attitude of the man. You know, Jonathan is kind of an unsung hero in my, he both had physical courage and then he had a nobility of spirit. I mean, he was magnanimous with David. He was generous. He was humble. He was an amazing man. But nonetheless, he and his armor bearer went up against a garrison of Philistine enemy. And I'm reminded this morning that you can never get the right answer from the wrong question. So for example, whenever you face an obstacle, maybe it's a garrison of Philistines, so to speak, your temptation would be to say, well, what can I do? Well, that's the wrong question. You can never get the right answer from the wrong question. The question is not, what can I do? The question is, what should I do? Because should can do things that can never could. Look, if I'm thinking, can I do this? The answer may be no, and I may not do something I should do. If the question is, should I do this? Then God alone can help you do what you should, and He alone can. So the question is, should I do it? And can God do it? Ronald Reagan's mother, Nell, was a dynamo. She was quite the optimist. And she used to say, don't wring your hands, roll up your sleeves. And so you unlock so much more with the right question. In 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan says this, and Jonathan said to the young man that bears armor, verse 6, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Now, as we find out, God wasn't working for them. He was working with them. Then he says, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Now, Thomas Sewell has written a book essentially about restraints and incentives. And, you know, it's hard for us to rise above the things that motivate us and the things that constrain us. Well, can I tell you something? God is only motivated by the good, and God is not restrained or constrained by anything. I am, but He is not. The question is, should I and can God? And that's what Jonathan did. Saul was waiting. Saul was sitting. Saul was tarrying. And Jonathan was acting. And what you find is this cascading series of events. You might call this compounding interest. You might call it exponential. It just doubled in size every 5 seconds. So first of all, in verse 14, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they slew 20 of the Philistines. And now that's an amazing story, but I don't think it's a Alvin York story. I think already there's miraculous in this. I think this whole story is nonsense unless there is a God. If there is no God, that is more nonsense than if there is a God. And if there is a God, then that is the answer for this. It wasn't just his military ability and his courage. Those were in play as well. In verse 15, you find this flywheel beginning to spin with increasing intensity and speed. In verse 15, there's an earthquake that confused the Philistines. Now, the Bible does not explicitly say God sent an earthquake, but it's clear from the story, it seems to me, that this was an act of God. So attack was an act of Jonathan. Trust was the mindset of Jonathan. Earthquake was the act of God. Verse 20 says, every man's sword was against his fellow. That is, the Philistines fought against each other. Now look, my dad took jujitsu in college, and it's not throwing blows, it's throwing opponents. So a guy weighs 250 and he's got a lot of momentum. That's not working against you, it's working for you. You just step out of the way, stick your leg in his way, he trips over, and the bigger they are, the harder they fall. It's using your opponent's own strength, size, and momentum, as I understand it, to work against him. That's what God did. It wasn't that he decreased the number of the Philistines, it's that he used their very strength against them. So the numbers were stacked. Jonathan just trusted God, and when that happened, God gave him victory over 20, and then God sent an earthquake, and then there was a discomfiture, as the Bible says, that is confusion among the Philistines. In verses 21 and 22, all the Israelites who were hiding under rocks, and the Philistines mocked Jonathan because of this. He said, hey, what rock did you climb out from under? They all showed up, they appeared, they emerged, they helped Jonathan. Verse 23 summarizes this by saying, so the Lord saved Israel that day. Jonathan was constrained. God is not. We have mixed motives. God has only the good. And the Lord saved Israel that day. Now, verse 45. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath worked or wrought this great salvation in Israel? So who worked great salvation? Was it God or was it Jonathan? Well, the Bible says Jonathan worked this great salvation. But then the last part of the verse 45 says, for he hath worked or wrought with God. In other words, Jonathan worked with God. He worked for God. And because he worked for God, God worked with him. Now, I don't know what obstacle you're facing today. I talked to my neighbors on the ranch today, and some are taking very long trips. One is going to Arizona. Others are going to other places a couple hundred miles from here. Others are going to be very close indeed. But there's a lot of things to think about. We're having a graduation, as I say this today, Bill Rash Christian Academy. A lot of people will be here, a lot of work involved. Any given day, there may be obstacles, and you're thinking, how can I confront these? What can I do? Wrong question. What should I do? What can God do? There's a certain peace that comes at the end of the day when you pillow your head and you think to yourself, I've done my duty and I've sought God for grace. If I can say that, what more do I need? If my metric is, can I do it? And I bite off more than I can chew and I don't do what I thought I could do, then I feel like a failure. If I think, what should I do? And I do my duty and I seek my God, then you know what? God will work with me and God will be glorified.